Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Kermit Price, and today I'm going to discuss the final portion of this project, the investigation of methods to evaluate drought tolerance among selected cotton lines. As most of you know, drought tolerance and water use efficiency is the focus of next generation bioengineered traits and conventional breeding. Therefore, the methods to evaluate superior plants must be effective and give us reproducible results. The objective of this project was to examine and compare methods to assess a variety's performance by observing the efficiency of each method, the correlations among methods, the reproducibility of results, and also to evaluate the breeding value as related to selection in a breeding program. The field trial that we used for this project was a randomized complete block design within each irrigation treatment. We had 22 entries, 4 replications, and 4 treatments. And this covered the span of 3 years, 5, 6, and 7. And the irrigation treatments were based on a replacement of evapotranspiration. We had 0, 25, 50, and 75% replacement. In year 1, each year had only 3 treatments. So in year 1, we had 25, 50, and 75. And after assessing that data, we determined that we needed to add a dryland component, and so in years 2 and 3, we had 0, 25, and 50% replacement as the treatments. Of the 22 lines we tested, 15 were conventional lines, 7 were transgenic lines in the Coker 312 background, representing glutathione reductase, ascorbate peroxidase, and catalase. We also performed a chlorophyll fluorescence assay on the plants in the field. And for more information on the specifics of that assay, you can look at Dr. Burke's paper there in Plant Physiology. But the data generated from this assay is in the form of FV or FM values, which represent the photochemical efficiency of photosystem 2. The analysis for this project was performed on a delta FV-FM value. And within that assay, there are several fluorescence readings taken throughout the course of that assay. So what I did is took the initial reading, subtract the final reading, and got this change in fluorescence. So to make this make sense for the way we'll look at this data, a larger delta FVFM value indicates a healthier plant, and a smaller one indicates a plant enduring stress. For the data analysis that I'm going to show today in the next few slides, I used linear regression for fluorescence and yield as related to the amount of water it received, and also a fluorescence by yield regression. And as the transgenic lines that we tested were background in Coker 312, we did not have the nulls to these lines, so the closest comparison we could make for these transgenics was to a conventional Coker 312. So therefore, I compared all of our lines to Coker 312. So improvement indicators as related to the linear model would be a smaller slope and a higher intercept. The first variety we'll look at is Fibromax 958. And one of the main things I want to point out, because the characteristic of this linear model is quite similar between the two, the only main difference being in the intercept between 958 and Coker 312. And this graph is of water by yield, or irrigation and precipitation by yield. And when we look at irrigation by fluorescence, again, we see a similar characteristic of linear models between 958 and Coker 312, the main difference being the intercept. We looked at this one transgenic variety. This is a catalase line. I wanted to point out, first of all, that in the linear model for this transgenic line, it does meet the improvement indicators that we listed of a smaller slope and a higher intercept. However, there's no significant difference between this line and Coker 312. And that was the case in all 7 transgenics that we looked at. There was no significant difference from Coker 312, although there was a little bit of variability and how the linear model compared to Coker 312. When we look at water by fluorescence for this same line, Again, I point out there's no significant difference from this transgenic line versus Coker. Main difference there is just slight variability in the linear model. In the R-squares that we ran from the correlation and linear regression, when we looked at water by yield, we had very high R-square values, as would be expected, most of them averaging in the 80% range. When we looked at water by fluorescence, not quite as high as values as we saw for yield, but again, greater than 50% in most cases. The one exception is Delta Pine 491, which had a 0.2% R-square value. And the reason I'll show behind that is, although in the irrigation by yield regression for 491, the main difference being the intercept there, we see the big difference when we look at irrigation by fluorescence, where within this data we saw little change in fluorescence across irrigation treatments, therefore giving us that low correlation value for 491 in irrigation by fluorescence. We ran the correlation values for fluorescence by yield. This was quite interesting to me because these are quite higher than I expected to see. We have some even ranging up in above 70%. But one of the main facts I'll point out about this is that they're not consistent across varieties. So to summarize what we learned from this running this regression, in water by yield, those values range from 73 to 94% with a mean value of 83% of water, explaining the variability in yield, as most of us would expect. In water by fluorescence, we've had values from 0.2% to 84%, 0.2 again coming from 491, with a mean value of 61% of water, explaining the variability in fluorescence. And then in fluorescence by yield, that value, those values range from 12 to 76% with a mean value 40% of fluorescence, explaining the variability in yield. So the conclusion we came to is that yield performance is indicative of irrigation treatment. Fluorescence is also indicative of irrigation treatment, with the exception of 491 from this data set. And that may be because of an alternative genetic response to irrigation with regards to fluorescence for the 491 variety. And when we think back to one of the objectives of some assays to determine drought tolerance or water use efficiency, when we think about the fluorescence assay with regards to this objective, we could say that fluorescence can be predictive of lint yield performance, given that 40% explanation for fluorescence explaining 40% of variability in lint yield. But we do not feel that this is at a level that would warrant sole criteria selection that would be valuable to a breeding program looking for water use efficiency or drought tolerance. With that, I'd like to give a special thanks to each of these individuals who contributed with their help and support to this project. With that, there's questions. Yes.
How readily or how reliably could you apply the fluorescence criteria to single plant for mass selection? Would it be effective or not?
I think the experience I have with that, and Dr. Burke may give you a different answer, but within a line or within a, if you're looking within a nursery, or progeny row, I think you can tell difference that would be reliable within the same type of genetics. But I think when you start spreading it across different genetics, as we saw there with 491, that's when you have trouble relying on the results you get from it. But I think within line, it could probably be more reliable than that 40%.
Any idea why there would be genetic variation?
Across varieties?
Yeah.
I really have no explanation because...
The reason I ask that is that, is there some way possibly to develop a covariate factor, to identify a covariate factor that you can also measure and render according to the across the universe?
That's possible. That's a little bit outside the scope of what the focus was for my project, but it's very possible. Yes?
How accurate is your fluorescence measurement? Since you have replicated data, you have a coefficient of variation or something like that on the data you collected?
I do have, I didn't report those CVs, but I do have those, and off the top of my head, I couldn't tell you what they were. I know that they were, we took a sample from each of the four reps, so they were replicated four times. So the value that you saw was a statistically analyzed mean of four reps. Yeah, you saw 6 points on there. Are you asking what the sampling size was or what? There's six data points for the regression, but each of those points represents four data points.
So what's your degree of freedom when you do the regression analysis?
I know I have that in my analysis. I didn't put that in here, so I don't want to say, I don't want to tell you the wrong number, but I do have it. Yes, Steve. That was one plant per plot.
And were those plants spaced equally, or just...
They were. The tests were thinned to a uniform stand each year. But one of the reasons we went with one plant per plot is when you're sampling 264 plants and you're supposed to get them all at dawn. It becomes quite challenging.
All right. Thank you, Carmen.